Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday. We take time to answer questions you guys have sent in. There's a lot of them. So, Angel, I think we better jump in.
Joe, my husband and I have two kids and I want another. The problem is that he doesn't. I'm getting older and feel like the window is closing. Have you counseled people with this issue before?
Yes, I have.
And what do you tell them?
I said, well, you know, you're going to be married for a long time or you're going to be married for a short time. You know, tell me when you get married, your job's to take care of this lady. This lady wants another baby. That's your job. Well, I don't want any more. No, that's not really up to you. When you got married, you died. Marriage is a covenant. And you promised before God and witnesses, I'm going to live for this lady. She wants another baby. Probably ought to have one. It's not like she's after something unreal. Well, we got to know. Well, you got two, going to have a third one. But we've had six. The third one didn't break the bank. It didn't make it any different. Matter of fact, the older ones took care of the young ones. It was kind of a lot easier. So you need to think about what you're doing because she'll hold this against you for a long time. She's going to meet other people with three kids or four kids. And she's going, well, we could have had that. We could have had that. It's not worth it, big boy. I don't know what you think you're getting out of, but it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good.
Everybody's situation is different. Yes. I didn't think I could get pregnant. I finally did. Then I was shocked when I had a second one. Didn't get pregnant again after that.
And there's a lot of side stuff Angel's not sharing. A lot of medical stuff. Well, you probably shouldn't have another one. There's a lot of stuff. Everybody's dealing with stuff. Everybody.
Everybody is. And it's at the end of the day, what we have to realize is this is a faith journey. And so I remember one time in church, an evangelist came to our church and he said, there's a woman in this room. Now, we were at a big church and probably like, I don't know, 1,500 people were there. And I was sitting in the back and my sister-in-law had adopted a son and then had gotten pregnant. I'd been married 10 years and had never gotten pregnant. I wouldn't say anything to anybody because everybody was always just like, where's your faith? Blah, 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 you know, and all this kind of stuff. Well, so I just would always say, because my dad would say, why don't you adopt? And I'd say, well, I'm not opposed to adoption. I think it's wonderful. I just, in my heart, I don't see myself growing old without grandchildren. And so anyway, one day this guy gets up and he preaches. He gives the hardest altar call I have ever heard. And he said, there's a woman in this room that you are believing God for a child. I need you to come down here, get on your knees, and start to worship God. And I went, ooh. And I said to my sister-in-law who was sitting next to me, what are your thoughts? She goes, you're going to regret it if you don't. So everybody in the church knew who I was because my husband preached there a lot. And so I just said, oh. So I got up, took this walk that seemed forever, got down on my knees and began to worship God. Well, after that, two other women came and he goes, God will honor you ladies, but this is for her. So I sat there and I did what he said. I just began to worship God. I don't have no idea how long I was there. But I remember when I got up, I said, all right, that was my point of faith. That was it.
Yes.
And I knew that I was going to have a child. I didn't get pregnant for a few years after that. But every time I'd think about it, I would go back to that moment and say, God, thank you for that. Yeah. That was the point that I got in agreement with you.
Yes.
So when I got pregnant several years later, it was fantastic. And the whole church celebrated. It was the biggest celebration. And it was wonderful. And it was just a really neat thing to watch God move. And then when I got pregnant with the second one, it was like, whoa, you know?
Yep.
And so
exceedingly abundantly above and beyond.
Yes. And another preacher, it was not the same time, in the same time frame, a few years apart, but I walked in and I came in late and I was wearing a red jacket and he goes, ma'am, 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 don't sit down. Come up here. And I was like, oh, And
I should have picked.
so he said, he gave me a word that really has all come to pass, but he said, I see a child, no children. And so I held those things in my heart, kind of like Mary, you know, and I would just thank God for it every time. And it happened. So get your faith out there. God can move on your spouse's heart
Yes.
in a moment. But sometimes we apply faith to areas of our lives, but we don't with our spouses or our
Yeah, I
children,
know.
when that really is where we should the most.
Yes.
Joe, my in-laws are always in our business. And of course, I'm always the one that is wrong. Is it right for my wife to share with her family about all my faults? You know, there's always two sides to every story, but they only hear hers. Move as far away as you can.
Amen.
No, I had very involved in-laws. Well, Joe doesn't, his parents had passed away, so he only met my mother. But when I first got married, my father-in-law was domineering and had a lot of opinions. My dad had to step in at one point. So then, 6 months after we married, we moved to Washington State. It was the best thing that we ever did because it made, A, it made us grow up. And B, we had to just learn to make it on our own instead of
Yes.
running home. Same thing when I had a son, I'd move back here. And when I had a son, I only was here 6 months. So I didn't have a mom or dad or in-laws that we could run over to and say, come babysit or whatever. And that was good for me because I had to learn it on my own. And I got a community of other young mothers and we who also were in the same situation.
Yes.
And we all learned to lean on each other. So if you can't move away, though, I would say to your wife, we need to put some parameters on this
Yes.
because you haven't changed from being a single girl to being a married woman. And that's a different deal
Yes, it
because
is.
it's no longer your mom and dad and you. It's now, it's not just for me to leave and cleave. You have to as well.
I know.
And so, I mean, really, that's gossip.
It is exactly what it
I mean,
is.
there's things that I have never shared with my family, nor would I, because it would affect their journey and
Yes,
faith.
it would.
And so, and I have a grace for it, doesn't mean that they do.
No.
So, yeah, she is setting your marriage up for failure by doing that. And you can let her hear this, but I totally stand strong about be very, very careful.
Well, Angel and I sort of had the similar thing. I lived 100 yards from my parents and 2 miles from her parents when we first got married, and I realized my first marriage, I realized they're in our life every day. They knock on our back door every evening. It's like it. And so I got a job 2 states away, 3 years of our marriage. And I did not realize we had not grown together. Our parents were so involved in our life, not in a bad way, but in a just a wacky Southern way. And so finally, it's just her and I. It's just us. We got to talk. We got to visit. We might have to pray together. We might have to believe God for something together. And then we started having children. We moved even further away, and we loved our parents. We did. We see them once, twice a year and visit, going for a week and visit. So we loved our family, but not next door. And that can be a challenge. Like Angel said, you got to have to put some parameters there somewhere, or that's going to bite you.
Yes, it really can, and I think that that's a rule that every married couple should
Yes.
have. Joe, my son is struggling to make friends at school, but he has tons of online friends playing his games on the computer and his PlayStation. He seems content, but I'm worried that he is only having virtual friends. Should I be concerned?
You can answer that better than me.
My kids have always very particularly my son has always been very involved with gaming and his then he married a woman that's also a gamer. They're 32. Well, he's 32 and they still game all the time with
Yes.
their friends.
Big group. Big group.
Yeah, that's kind of this generation. The sad part to me and it's kind of we kind of bought it on ourselves, our generation, because we We went to needing two incomes, and so we created latchkey kids. If you guys remember that term, where kids would come home from school and they'd be there by themselves. And so it was a perfect storm for that. So I don't think there's a thing wrong with saying, let's put some parameters on this and stuff, but you can't force your child to make friends. Now, what you can do is say, let's go get a hobby together. Let's make a model car that goes fast, and then we'll go to one of those races or whatever. So there's things that you can do to get involved with them that would pull them, so that's not such a big thing, and then would bring people into their lives. But I would just say a very large part of that is this generation.
Things changed, and Angel's two kids are very smart, high IQ, and so that was somewhat of a very different, unique challenge. We always took our kids. I said, listen, you're going to go to school like everybody else, but you're going to be involved. So I was judged for it a lot of times, but all my kids played. They played everything. Played football, soccer, basketball, baseball. I wanted my kids involved. And people said, well, you've made a god out of sports. No. I have these kids for maybe 18, maybe 22 years. I want them involved. I want you. And people laugh when I say, I want my kids busy, tired, and happy. I don't want you any spare time on your hands. I want to come home after a long tournament. Dad, can we go to bed? Yes, you can. Thank you. And so I wanted you busy because the teenage mind is a very aggressive, intelligent, and challenging to work with. So if you get too much spare time in that head, you're going to start thinking things you probably don't need to be thinking about. So I like you getting around other people. Well, I don't like everybody. You don't need to like anybody. You just need to participate in this sport. If it's on a soccer field, you're not too close to anybody. If it's a basketball, gym, you're probably be closer than most everybody. But you're going to learn to work with other people. Not everybody's like you. They don't think like you. They don't like the same things you like. They don't like the same food. They don't have the same kind of parents. It's a big world. You need to learn how to get involved. You need to learn how to be a problem solver and play with a group, not be isolated. And so it taught them things. It didn't make them like it any better, but they learned a lot of great things from it. So as they become adults, like, hey, I know how to cooperate. I know how to do things with other people. Yes, you did because you learned that as a child. So that's an important lesson to getting them involved.
And my son is a musician. He started playing the drums when he was three. I was so glad when he went to the piano. One day I heard Elton John in my living room, and I was like, "Who's that?" And he goes, "It's me." And like I said, he was 12. And then the guitar, and so he can play any instrument, and he's extremely talented. So that kind of changed the dynamic and put all of that in perspective. So I do think it's very, very good to open the door. But honestly, you don't say how old your son is here, but if he's like middle school or early high school, I'd say it's pretty normal. So,
Everything's going to be fine.
yep. Hey, we love you guys. Thank you so much for sending in your questions and your comments. Please send us your prayers as well. Check us out at joemcgee.com. Have a great day.
Thank you. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.